Our friend and yours, Dr. Amar Patani, the family dentist of Main Street Smiles in Barrington, is on a phone line. Hi, doctor. Welcome back to the show.
Hey, John. Thanks. Great to be here.
Huge controversy here today, sir. Mouthwash, yes or no? Should I be using mouthwash?
So, should you? I would say it's a great additive to the routine. So, sure, if it's something that you can add to your routine, there's no reason why you shouldn't use it.
I'm shocked, positively shocked by the answer. Okay, but then should I concern myself if there's alcohol in the mouthwash?
Yeah, so there's different kinds of mouthwashes. And so some of them are helpful in certain ways and others are helpful in different ways. So typically when we look at mouthwashes, there's different types of goals that we're trying to achieve. And one of them is reduction in bacteria. So some of the mouthwashes will have key ingredients that can be bacteriostatic or bactericidal, and that means that it can reduce the amount of bacteria in your mouth. And bacteria is what causes the decay in your mouth. So when we eat sugars and carbs, it feeds that bacteria in your mouth, and that creates an acid and an acidic mouth, which can cause decay and eventually tooth loss. So one key thing that mouthwash can do, again, depending on the type, is to reduce the bacteria. Secondly, mouthwash can freshen breath. So again, by killing the bacteria, some of those bacteria can create some of those the bad odors that we're all aware of.
Understood. Understood. But let me just read you this, doctor.
Yeah.
262 says, on mouthwash, I hear that the mouthwash kills the good bacteria, just like they say hot showers pull the good stuff from your skin. That said, John, I'll die early over avoiding showers for days. My marriage and job rely on a clean self-image. But I'm hearing from people who say there's two kinds of bacteria and that the mouthwash kills the good bacteria and it leaves the bad bacteria in your gut, which you don't want. I trust you're familiar with all that, Doc. What's your read on that?
Yeah, so that's absolutely true. And it's the same as when we use antibiotics for infections in our bodies. You run the risk of killing the good bacteria along with the bad bacteria. Mouthwash is no different, and so that's why it's important to not overuse mouthwash. So we talk about using mouthwash once to twice a day after brushing and flossing, and that reduces the overall microbial load in your mouth and shouldn't affect the oral biome enough to cause any longer-term problems.
Somebody said that their hygienist said, to rest my mouth, to rinse, I presume is what they mean, rinse my mouth out with warm salt water. That will kill the bad bacteria, and the good bacteria remains intact. Do you care what I'm rinsing my mouth out with? How about just some warm salt water, Doc?
So again, warm salt water doesn't know the difference between good bacteria and bad bacteria. Salt works to kill kind of the cellular structures. I mean, salt does. Salt works to kill the cellular structures. So it's not necessarily going to be selective in what it's killing. And there's no harm in rinsing your mouth with warm salt water or any of the mouthwashes that are out there.
Okay. So you don't think that I'm losing any ground if I substitute one for the other? Go with whatever you're comfortable with. Is that your advice?
So again, it depends on what your goal is, right? So if you are looking to reduce bacteria, prevent decay, then go with a mouthwash that has some of the key ingredients that work effectively for that purpose. And those key ingredients are basically like essential oils. So you'll see mouthwashes that have essential oils as a key ingredient, things like thymol, eucalyptol, menthol. Those are natural antimicrobials, and they can reduce plaque and decay caused by bacteria. Another ingredient is alcohol, right? So we talked about alcohol being in some of these mouthwashes. The alcohol also kills bacteria. Now, alcohol, if it's overused or in certain mouths, certain people are sensitive to it, it can cause drying of the tissues, or some people get that burning sensation that they don't like. And so there's plenty of non-alcohol mouthwashes you can use that do have alternative ingredients like the essential oils.
For the dentist, 323, do toothpastes like Crest gum detoxify and restore really do anything that regular toothpastes don't? I got to tell you, doctor, I was buying toothpaste the other day, and I thought, well, there's 52 different options here. I thought, maybe it really doesn't matter. It's simply the brushing with some suds that matters. I don't know, doc. What do you think?
So I'm kind of with you on that a little bit. It's kind of like when I go to pick out shaving cream, and I don't know if I have, if I want the sensitive skin or the smooth skin or the, you know, the thick beard one. So I say if it's got fluoride, we know that fluoride helps a lot. So you want to make sure your toothpaste has fluoride.
Okay.
And then aside from that, you know, the ADA, so the American Dental Association, will do research on some toothpaste and will approve a seal. So if you want to, you can look at the back of the toothpaste tube or box and see if it's approved by the ADA. As far as other benefits, I think there, you know, there may be more benefits there, but it can also be things like additional ingredients that we see in the mouthwashes that are affecting things like periodontal health or decay.
So, by the way, speaking of fluoride, RFK Jr., I don't mean to borrow.
I saw that.
Okay, well, I don't want to borrow more trouble here than we've already got. But he isn't the Health and Human Service Secretary yet. But RFK Jr. said that he wants to eliminate fluoride from the water systems. I saw what the president of the American Dental Association said about that. But what do you say about fluoride in our water?
So what we know is that there are no studies that show that the levels of fluoride in our drinking water are bad for our mental health and our growth and our development. We also do know, though, that fluoride at higher levels, if ingested, especially during development, can cause issues with brain development, with mental development. So, the benefits of fluoride in the drinking water, if you look back, and we all know grandparents with dentures, right? So that's like something that we all have an image of. If you look at the current rate of tooth loss compared to tooth loss before fluoride was added to the water system, it's night and day, right? So we are now able to keep our teeth throughout our lives. We're not doing extractions all the time. We're not doing dentures all the time. But we have more and more patients that are coming at 80, 90, 100 even, with a full mouth of teeth. And we know that we attribute that to the fluoride that's been added to the drinking water.
She said that there's just what you, well, she essentially said what you said, that there's no evidence to show that the negatives outweigh the benefits, and that's putting it lightly. Okay, here's the other question that I've been arguing with our morning show about, doctor, and this may be the last question we have time for today. What order do you clean your teeth? Brushing, flossing, rinsing, picking? What would be optimal if I want to get the cleanest teeth I can?
So I'll start by just saying that if what you're doing is working, then keep doing what you're doing. And when I say working, if you're going to your dentist every 6 months and you're getting good checkups and you're not having cavities, then stick with what you're doing, because ultimately that's our goal. Now, what I do at home is I floss first. And for me, I mean, I think about it in my head. Like, so I floss first to remove any of the bigger debris, and then I brush. And because the larger debris is no longer there, it allows fluoride to touch all the surfaces of the teeth. And then after that is when I would use mouthwash. And so mouthwash is kind of like your last step to go around and make sure that anything I've even displaced during the brushing and flossing has come out. And if you get a mouthwash with fluoride in it, it's another a chance to let that fluoride work on your teeth. And so let's remember, when we talk about fluoride in something like toothpaste and mouthwash, that fluoride is in your mouth, but then you're spitting it out. It's very different than when we talk about the fluoride in drinking water. And that's why the fluoride in mouthwash and toothpaste is at a much higher concentration, right? So we can't equivocate those things.
So don't swallow that is your advice.
Exactly, yeah. Don't swallow your mouthwash or your toothpaste. Although even swallowing a little bit is not harmful. And
right.
In fact, the pediatric side of the ADA has come out and updated the recommendations now that all kids, as soon as they have teeth in their mouth, should be using a fluoride toothpaste, but just a very small amount of it. So just a smear, a smear. and the reason is because the benefits, again, of keeping those teeth healthy in the mouth outweigh any type of risk.
Dr. Amar Patani is the family dentist I go to. You hear his announcements on WGN Radio regularly, and when we have an issue like this, we call him up. He's at Main Street Smiles in Barrington. Click on mainstreet312.com. As always, thank you, Doctor.
Thanks, John. Great to be here.